Welcome to Small Business Big Network, the podcast for small business owners who want big results from their networking. I'm Liz Drury, a freelance voiceover artist who knows that if you're not working, then networking could help. Vicky Allen is the founder of Assure VA and provides services such as social media management to SMEs. She didn't network at all for the first year of her business, but now she wouldn't be without it. Thank you very much for being my guest on the podcast today, Vicky.
Oh, thank you, Liz. I'm really looking forward to doing this with you.
Now, you're a virtual assistant who helps SMEs, but I know that you haven't always done that. So tell me something about your background and the jobs you've had before.
So when I started off working in TV production, my initial love was to, I really desperately wanted to work in live TV. So I started off as a tech op and trained and worked my way up to director and vision mixer on a live sports programme. After 10 years of doing that, I decided that London wasn't really cutting it for me anymore. So I ditched that and ran away to the sea to become a water sports instructor.
Wow, that's quite quite a jump, really.
Yeah. Yes, you can imagine the look on my parents' faces. And I said I was leaving my suitably well-paid job in London to run away to sea. But it was fantastic. So then I did a sort of 14, 15-year career in water sports because I did all my instructor tickets.
Yeah.
So I can teach pretty much everything. And then I ended up running a water sport, well, several water sports centres and then a sailing club. And then COVID happened and a change of career and a change of focus. And it sort of just led on to me helping out some friends with their businesses and led on to me sort of working my side hustle into an actual business.
Yeah, I think that happened to a lot of people in COVID, didn't it? That they suddenly
Absolutely.
Had a change of career. And you're going back to your vision mixing days. I can see how London would lose its appeal eventually.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, I loved London. I think in my early 20s, it was absolutely the right place for me to live.
Yeah.
But I think it has a shelf life. Mm-hmm. I just needed more in my life, I suppose.
Yeah. So the water sports then, was that something that you always had an interest in? Was water sports something that you always kind of did as a hobby?
So, my family are a massive sailing family. So my dad and my brother have both done a lot of competitive sailing. I rebelled against it, as you do, hence moving to London. I was like, I don't want to sail anymore. I went to a sailing event with my brother where he was looking to sign up to a round the world yacht race. And when we walked into the arena to go and sign him up, they were playing a video of these 72-foot yachts dropping off huge waves in the Southern Ocean, which was footage recorded in the previous race. And my brother turned around to say to me, nope, that's not for me. And he couldn't find me. And then he found me at the desk at the back and I'd already signed up. So I thought, yes, that does sound good. So I did some training for that. That was for Global Challenge. Unfortunately, my race didn't go ahead. We lost our title sponsor and unfortunately the whole thing collapsed. So I got into doing, I was heavily into fitness by then. So I wanted to keep my brain focused. So I did some triathlon training, did pretty well in a triathlon at the Eton Ladies Triathlon. And so my friend brought me a kite surfing taster weekend as a congratulations. And halfway through the weekend, I had a breakdown. I said, I want to be a kite surfing instructor. So that's pretty much where it came about, really. So I went off and did a 6-month career course and just completely retrained, did all my instructor tickets, went abroad to Egypt to go and do that, and came back and never looked back.
Wow.
Never look back. Loved every second.
And I know you spent some time working in Abu Dhabi, didn't you? How did that come about?
So that was through the water sports. My husband, who I met on my training course, and I both were looking to sort of transition more to management of water sports, I suppose. So we were very lucky. We went out and ran a sailing centre at a British club in Abu Dhabi in our first year out there. And then our second year, we set up and established a couple of other RWA training centres. So we had and brought out staff to come and work with us as well, but always carried on teaching.
And so is sailing and water sports something that you still do now?
Absolutely. Yeah, very much. Obviously, it's not my job anymore. So I'm not, I don't have an office overlooking the sea, which I miss. but yeah, we're still involved at the sailing club. And our daughter, who's 9, she's now getting into sailing and all other water sports. And she'll probably totally eclipse our skills at some point very soon.
So you mentioned that you've managed sailing clubs. Do you think that the skills you learned doing that have been, you know, instrumental in your new business?
Definitely. At the sailing club, it was, you know, volunteers and members, private members club, and working with management who are all volunteers. And I think it gave me a real ability to communicate with people on many different levels and deliver good and bad news effectively. Mm. And time management is really important. All the different processes that we use to, you know, to document our members and to organise events, all of that really plays into the strengths that I've taken forward now with the social media management that I'm doing with my clients now. So I think actually all my skills from all of my careers have come to play, except for actually teaching on the water.
Yeah, well, I completely understand where your business name came from. You're called Ashore VA.
Yes. Yeah, I was afloat and now I'm ashore.
So you said that, you know, the pandemic hit and you were starting to help other people's businesses out. What kind of things did they ask you to help them with?
So initially, one of the companies wanted me to do, he'd set up a very small sort of business to keep his son busy over the summer holiday. Obviously, we're still in COVID at this point. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to know whether he could actually scale that business up. So he asked me to do an audit of where his business was at that point and advise him really on what he needed to do next. And so I did that, went and spent a couple of days with him and immediately said, you need to employ staff. So we expanded. And ran very successfully for 3 years with that business, which was super. And the other business is an absolutely brilliant friend of mine who has many different trades, but had built a luxury floating pod to have as a luxury away break, effectively. And it's completely eco-friendly and it needed a home. So he wanted me to go in again, audit the idea, I suppose, and see if it was fit for purpose, and then actually find a lake, find a patch of water for it, and then pitch that to the owners of the lake and effectively get the business up and running. And I've just become involved with them again now as they've scaled up to their second pod and we're expanding the business again. So, both of those gave me huge confidence to take another big career leap.
Where is the floating pod, by the way?
It's in Dartmoor, and at a place called Alder Farm, and it is stunning, absolutely stunning. She's called Lily Pod, and it's been an amazing project to be involved in. Kyle, who runs the business, is an absolute genius. I find it very easy to be involved because it's very inspiring and creative.
Yeah, they sound amazing. Yeah. So, was self-employment something that you always wanted to do, do you think?
No, absolutely not. No, when I worked in TV, I looked at a lot of people who were freelancing, and the thought of freelancing terrified me. I've always been somebody who's liked to know exactly how much money I'm earning each month and that I've got the security of, you know, that contract and the employment. So absolutely, categorically not. No, self-employment terrified me and still does to a certain extent. But it was a necessary leap, I think, to really let my skills come to the fore. I suppose I reached a point in employment where I wasn't able to develop that role any further. And my skill set, as people kept on saying, is quite diverse, and I wasn't able to find a role that really captured that. So I've made my own.
Yes. So tell me a bit more about Ashore VA. What do you do for your clients?
So I've been running website audits and making sure that what their clients are seeing and their customer experience is exactly what the business thinks it is. Mm-hmm. And often those two things are not the same. And as a side on that, I've been working on websites and I do social media management and content creation and content strategy. And anything creative, really. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy to run multiple different platforms for my clients. And I've got clients of many different, you know, backgrounds and industries, and actually business sizes too. And all of that really helps my brain. I love the change that I can have in one day. In the morning, I can be working on an engineering project, and in the afternoon, working on a luxury yacht video. So it's a huge variety, which is super.
So are there any kinds of clients, you know, from a particular sector that you really like to work in? Now, I'm guessing things to do with sailing are probably up your street.
Yes, absolutely. I have got a sailing client. Yes. So yes, I've got a luxury yacht charter client in the Caribbean. I recently got to go and spend 2 weeks with them capturing content for next year's promos, and they gave me the full customer experience, which was amazing, just so I could capture it, obviously, not for any other reason.
Sounds awful.
It was terrible. And just a week of absolutely fabulous sailing, which for me, not getting on the water as often as I used to, it was absolute bliss.
Yeah.
Absolute bliss. Yeah. But my clients don't have to work in the Caribbean, but if they do, it's definitely a bonus.
Well, my next question was going to be, where are your clients? But clearly they can be anywhere.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the delight of, like, I suppose, the technology now that we're using. I literally have clients all over the world. And locally, I have clients that I can walk to in my village, which I equally love. And I think that balance of online relationships and then in-person relationships is what's really sort of keeping it ticking over for me.
Yeah. So what brings your clients to you? What kind of issues are they having when they think, oh, I need to outsource this to somebody?
Mostly, I think it's time management. I think they've realised that actually, just because they can effectively run their own personal social media accounts, running a business personal media account is a whole different animal. And I think if you're, especially on the smaller businesses that I'm working with, they really need to focus their skills on what they do well, which is running their business effectively. So it's a time management. They come to me feeling, you can see a tension in their shoulders and they haven't got the time and they're not sure they want to outsource. But by the end of those initial conversations where we can talk about what I can actually do and you know, projected, you know, results of that, shoulders are dropping, people are starting to relax, and then the results start coming in.
So what difference does working with you make for your clients?
I hope it makes their lives easier. It's a broad statement, that, and a big statement. I do. I think I make lives better. I think I bring enthusiasm and creativity to their lives if they haven't got time for that themselves. And I've got a real passion for it. I absolutely love creating. So anything creative, be it, you know, a static post for a social media, or be it a reel, or, you know, a video, or do some editing, all of it really ticks my boxes. And I feel like I'm a bit of a cheerleader for businesses. I can see it through, you know, very colourful glasses. And promote them to their clients in perhaps a way that their stress levels or their time management doesn't allow them to.
Now, when you and I had a chat a couple of weeks ago, you told me that you didn't network for the first year of your business. Why not?
I think this is maybe a lot of people going into business, you know, initially feel the same. I felt that every minute of my day had to be accountable to my clients. And I didn't allow myself time in my working day to actually work on my business. Or in my business. And so actually the thought of going out networking didn't really even factor in. I felt like it was a time, you know, that I wouldn't be able to put aside. And I was scared of networking, if I'm honest.
So what was it that made you start eventually?
I missed people. I absolutely miss people. I mean, I love what I do, and I obviously get to talk to people every day, talking to my clients, but it's not the same as actually meeting people either through the networking online or even in person. And I missed having a community and a shared workplace, I suppose. And that's really what networking has brought back for me.
Yeah. So what was your first event like that you went to?
Nerve-wracking. It was a lovely event. It was a women's only event at a local business centre, I suppose. Mm. And I sat outside and I almost didn't go in. I wasn't sure if I was going to be overdressed or underdressed. I didn't know if my business cards were going to, or if people even did business cards. I didn't know what to talk about. I felt absolutely outrageously nervous, I suppose. And then I started seeing people walking in around the time that the event was starting, and they all looked the same as me. They all looked normal. They didn't have two heads. Everyone else looked equally nervous, I think. And I thought, come on, you've got to give this a go. So in I went, and it was a wonderful event. I really enjoyed it.
And so presumably you kept going back after that.
Absolutely, absolutely. But then I did a lot of online events, fun enough, after that one. It took a long time for me to do another in person. Mm. Because my business had taken off and I was struggling with time management again, I suppose, to put myself out there. But now I've really pushed that back, and I try to do an in-person event every other week, and I try to do one or two online events each week as well.
Yeah, yeah. And how do you find the sort of online versus in-person? Do you have a preference?
I prefer in-person. I really enjoy that interaction that you can have, and I think online can be very time pressured, and people are very aware of the time pressure, and it can be I suppose much harder to form a connection. Even though I love all the outbreak rooms, breakout rooms, even not outbreak, I love all those rooms, and I love the opportunity to speak with different people in those environments, but it doesn't feel natural at times. Mm. In person, I think, as an example, I had last week, I met somebody who I'd met through an online event, and we met for a real in-person coffee, and we talked about everything, everything to do with, you know, collaboration and business, but then we also talked about crumpets and families. And that doesn't necessarily happen with the online ones.
No.
There is definitely a place to online, though. I love the fact that I can be working up until, you know, 5 minutes before the event, and I can be working again 5 minutes afterwards.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think what you don't get is those eclectic conversations, is it?
I know, absolutely. Absolutely. And they're the fun ones, aren't they, I think. So.
Yeah, definitely. So how would you say that your attitude to networking has changed from that first time, well, your first year where you didn't do it at all, to what you're doing now?
I now see it as vital. I see it as these are my colleagues. Yeah. I think I've got a huge network of colleagues, and it's, you know, even, not even though, because we all work in different industries, because we all come from different walks of life, the variety of views and experience is really useful. And I've just found it absolutely irreplaceable now, actually. And I would battle for it every week to make sure that it's in my schedule. I need it. I need that connection. It stops me from feeling lonely. It makes me feel like I've got people that are invested in me, apart from my husband. and it gives me a larger, you know, network of people who are not just, you know, connections now. They're actually, I've got some really fabulous friendships have come from this too.
Yeah, yeah, I think that does happen, especially if you find a network that you really enjoy going to and you keep going to, you really get to know those people, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And these are people that I wouldn't meet in any other way. So really important to keep going, I think. I feel I miss them when I'm not there.
and do you think that it's had a positive effect on the bottom line of your business ultimately?
Yes, it has. Yes, without a doubt. Absolutely. Many of the events, I suppose people try not to be too salesy now, and it's, you know, about connections rather than putting your product forward or your services forward. But ultimately, just by having conversations, I have then made some really important connections for my business. And my business has new clients as a result of it. And they're not necessarily people that have come to me immediately after meeting on, on an event. It can be a slow burner. But I enjoy that. I feel like I'm making genuine, authentic connections. Yeah. And the business comes at the right moment afterwards.
Yeah. So if there's someone listening who is in the place that you were in the first year of your business, not networking, maybe not wanting to, being scared of it, what would you say to them?
Oh my gosh, jump in, both feet, and consider it just the most fabulous opportunity. It's I it's not a luxury, it's actually a necessity, I think, for business, mm-hmm. Especially for those, for solopreneurs, actually, I think. I think it's so vital and so important to get yourself out there and get yourself known, but also to have those real connections with people, and the relationships and the conversation and the connection that brings. It's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. So one final question then, Vicky. If people want to know more about you and Assure VA, what's the best place for them to find you?
So I'm on LinkedIn, all over LinkedIn. So I'm there under my personal account, which is Vicky Allen, and I'm also there under my business, which is Assure VA. And I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, and I have my website as well. So
lovely. Well, thank you very much for being my guest. And
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Me too. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Small Business Big Network. If you found this podcast useful, please do rate, review, and subscribe. And don't forget to share it with the rest of your network too.